We are here, we're in.
Yes, people, welcome back to TBH Podcast. It's myself, DB.
And me, Ebony.
Yo, it's been a fantastic week for music, you know?
It's been crazy. It's been I've been highly entertained.
I have been like, very entertained.
Like, highly.
I don't even know where to start because there's actually so much going on. Actually, you know where we have to start at?
The artist formerly known as Kanye West. Of course. Because, oh yeah, no, we did talk about Donda, I think, last time we were here. But, yeah.
It was amazing. That, did you watch the interview?
Yeah, of course. Of course. There's part two coming.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't watch a lot of interviews. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I watch interviews all the time, but that I've watched probably all of Kanye's interviews anyway. So that's definitely up. That definitely ranks up there.
Yeah, but you do. The thing is, of all the artists, you will watch Kanye because it's always primed to be either controversy or he's going to say something that you're like, fucking hell, man.
But he says a lot of stuff that makes sense.
He does.
I know, like, obviously, all the theatrics of it, of course, definitely is, like I said, it was highly entertaining. A lot of funny, like, bits and stuff, like him just making jokes, because he's a funny guy as well at the same time. But
he's a proper dad. You know when he makes jokes and he's waiting for you to laugh?
He's like, ah! Like, do you get it? But also, Nori is so fucking slow. Oh my God, I couldn't deal. Like, you know, like, I think one of the funniest parts to me is when, like, obviously Nori asks him about the Soulja Boy verse, innit?
And he goes,
do you hear the verse? And Nori's just like, nah, I didn't hear it. And he's like, everyone starts laughing and he's like, oh! I'm like, you fuck it. Like, honestly, so slow. And that kind of like, and because he's slow, there's stuff that like Kanye is talking about and then he's not really catching on like quick enough. Like, Kanye starts talking about, oh, we could get into the science of music and stuff. And Nori's sitting there and he's just staring at him. Then he goes, yeah, no, we can move on. And I was like, what are you talking about? He literally just said he wants to talk about this. And you're like, So, of course, the interview was good, but Nori, oh my God. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, it is him. So you can only expect so much.
Yeah, I mean, he thought, what's his name? Swiss Beats was saying something deep when he said that. Poison.
It's because he's drunk the whole time, isn't it? Like, he's, you know, like a man that's just sitting there like, yeah, man. Yeah, like.
I hear you.
That's kind of him. Like, he's never, and he don't know. And you'll leave, yeah, and they'll be like, oh yeah, dude, like, I don't have a clue what he says.
He's actually
a
funny guy, man.
Yeah, Nori's.
But that interview, I think that's actually the best place.
I don't think we would have got that interview any other place though.
I agree with you because I felt like they gave him much more freedom.
But that's the thing with,
as opposed to maybe the mainstream.
I think that's the thing with Nori being an artist and them having that long history, like just as artists.
As artists, you go there. He's been in the game for, I mean, he's an OG.
Yeah, but they've just got a long standing rapport. And so when you have artists talking to artists, it's different than when you have an artist talking to a journalist.
They're going to ask you, or talking to a media personality.
That conversation felt more like you listening in on a conversation that you wasn't supposed to hear.
Yes,
like,
that's right.
Getting
that's
up
right.
and saying I shouldn't have signed Big Sean, which, to be fair, we might need to talk about that. Because Big Sean, yeah.
Oh my God.
That was funny. That was unexpected. And at the same time, I was like,
The thing is, even though I know Big Sean, at the same time, listen, I like Big Sean. I'm a Big Sean fan.
Yeah.
However,
I love it always. Like, I like Big Sean.
No, I'm a fan.
Like, I'm a fan too. Yeah, we have to
that's
say
that's
kind of
that's my thing, fam. But let me not lie to you. You can kind of understand what you're saying when you look at what he's brought out since then. It has been diabolical. And I'm honestly, don't do that.
That's not fair.
What? So, name me one album that is better than Dark Sky Paradise that's come out after.
He doesn't have one.
Okay.
But sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Like, artists reach their,
you know,
like,
dropped,
the magnum, the magnum
three
opus.
To four albums
the, no, no, but it doesn't matter. Like, the magnum, okay. magnum opus of their career, and then they don't really get back to that. So,
what did he say, Man of the 30 Wap?
Fetty Wap and he had like six songs. So then
no.
And I saw he got arrested for like, he's got like some federal charges. Like,
oh, well, that makes sense.
The rappers are crazy. You know?
No, but that, like, listen, that first Fetty Wap album that had all the bangers, that album was 10 out of 10.
Yeah, that was lit. And then after that,
it was weird. But to be fair,
the only reason Kanye's saying that though is because he just didn't like that Big Sean publicly. Yeah. Like,
went against him basically.
Yeah.
So to be fair, he was being mean
when he was getting at Just Blaze and he goes, you know, look at where I am and look at where he is. And it was like, I get it. He was on his bully shit, basically.
He was 100%.
And it, as much as it was entertaining, he was being mean. And maybe, you know, he was just getting it off. But yeah, there was a way.
But he, you know, there was... He was definitely talking about a lot of things. Like, I must say that I'm not taking sides on it because it's just one person talking against another. However, the whole Drake sitch
was very, very...
It was mind-opening just simply because the reality of what he was saying, when you put it into context, you're like, oh, fair enough then, actually. I get where you're coming from.
What are you
Again,
talking about?
You know when he was talking about...
Yeah, I know what he was talking about, Drake, but I don't get what...
So, for example, the stuff about Kim... You know, the whole reason how he had to...
Oh, the implication that something happened.
The implication or the innuendos behind it or the inference, all that kind of stuff. It then creates... And you know why you do it? Because, especially when you've got a project coming out, the more attention, the better. But Drake's not stupid. It makes sense. Even if it's not true.
But it wasn't Drake, though. Are we talking about In My Feelings, the Kiki line?
No.
What are we talking about?
We're talking... You know when he was talking about he did stuff with Kim and all that kind of stuff?
Oh.
And Kanye said he was like, he asked Kim and Kim was like, I've never done shit with him.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is, like I said, I don't want to get into the whole poise of celebrity gossip and rumours. It was just more the point around...
The implication, putting the implication out.
Exactly.
That
into context. Do you see what I'm saying?
Is worse than... But and he said another key thing about like the way that we all live now, like living in the anticipation and like the moments of now just being very fleeting. And
he's 100% right. That was 100% right.
That was dope. They should have got him to talk about that a little bit more.
That was 100% right, because that's exactly what life is pretty much like. Everything is fleeting, which we've known for years. But
yeah,
COVID
but people live in kind of like... In the, should I, shouldn't I, should I post, shouldn't I post, should I do this? Living in that particular way longer than when you actually, I don't know, I'm just using posting as a simple example.
Yeah.
Now you posted this out of sight, out of mind, and you're back to like, did they like it? Did they not
like it?
Yeah. Start to overthink. Is that about me? You live in this part so long.
Facts.
And then, you know, they should have got him.
One of the things I definitely did notice, and again, this could... I can't say this for sure, but as I was watching him talk, you could kind of, because he doesn't stay on
Kanye
subject.
Doesn't finish a thought.
He doesn't at all.
Ever.
He doesn't at all. So you can kind of tell
if someone's speaking to him, they literally, I've never seen anyone anchor him in a point
and make him go from A to Z, never. Yeah.
But
I just think that's how his brain works, though.
It does, but if you're speaking to him, you need to keep up. That's why I'm like, Nori's very slow. That's why I'm like, Nori's very slow, because he's speaking, and as much as someone can be darting around from point to point, from point to point and everything like that, as long as you keep up with them, it's fine.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's fine. It's true. You know?
But he's
I watched him on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan was just kind of looking at him like, Kanye. Mm. Like when he went on Joe Rogan, I think the interview's about the same amount of time, but it's completely different, of course. And Joe Rogan was kind of just like, Jesus Christ, you're just all over the place. You're like, he was confused. He was listening to him and he's confused about what he's even talking about, but you got to keep up. So I don't know. But,
I must say, Kanye West is a genius. He does a lot of stupid things, but he's a genius. Like, you really do have to give it to him. As I was hearing him talk, obviously, just taking it as a fact that I'm a younger artist, hearing how he does things, he sees things in a certain way, where you just have to admire it sometimes, regardless of how you feel about his music or what he does. Like,
I was never against that anyway.
I get you. I think in this instance, this is where you can actually use that separating
the art from the artist kind of thing.
You know what's cool
about this interview is that, weirdly enough, a lot of people who don't really mess with Kanye watched it, and I saw a lot of people who I know that have been highly critical of him say, I kind of fuck with him.
Yeah, because he's a G.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I wonder why, maybe it's because he hasn't said anything in a while, and he hasn't, obviously he rolled out his album, but he hasn't done any interviews for like maybe a couple years or so.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, and then maybe with all the kind of things that have happened in that period where he has been silent, maybe that's why a lot more people who would have maybe not watched the interview of his before watched this one. Yeah. But I did see a lot of people actually, like people who I know to be like quite critical of Kanye, be like, no, I actually like him a little bit more now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights of the past couple of years was that interview, just because it was good to hear him. I think when you get him away from the pressures,
you don't
of
get
the
artists. You don't get artists kind of being that flagrant.
No, not at all.
Not at his level. Drake is never gonna sit down in an interview
He does that. He does. The last interview, the last proper
Drake doesn't really do interviews.
But the last one he did was the one with LeBron.
I don't really count that as an interview, to be honest. That was like,
that was the closest thing you did to an actual interview. That was the last time you sat down and had a conversation.
No, a long form interview was the one he did with Rap Radar, just at the end of 2019, I think it was. That was ages ago. Yeah, that was ages ago.
But these big artists don't need interviews. I mean, when do you hear Beyonce or Jay-Z do interviews? These big artists don't need interviews.
Yeah, not anymore, but they should.
They should, but they don't, because they don't have to.
Yeah,
Kanye was a rarity, but
I get not really Kanye,
because I didn't do that many interviews.
There's loads of Kanye interviews.
No, come
the on. Joe Rogan interview only happened like, I think it even happened this year, like earlier
so
this
prior
year.
Prior to that, when did he last do an interview?
Because
it was 2019.
Prior to that, it would have been before that year, of course, because 2020 we don't count.
Yeah,
but.
I understand why he would have done more this year, because he dropped a new album. But if you look at it in context, he doesn't do interviews.
There's going to be a part two for that Drink Champs one, and I don't think we're going to see another interview from him with anyone else. I don't really think you need it, to be honest. No.
I think it looks like, and I can kind of understand it. Once you say what you have to say, that's kind of it, isn't it? Like it's up to everyone's interpretation of what I've said. Because me doing another interview is not. I've already said it, basically. So I think in this instance, I kind of understand why it was such a long interview. I mean, what the part one was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it makes
two
a
and a half
sense.
Hours even. Yeah. 2.5 hours. It was mad. But for someone like him, it makes sense to be wrong. But to be honest, all the Drink Champs interviews are about 2 hours.
All of their interviews that you do on there,
like when I was watching the Pharrell interview, all of them are around that mark. So. Yeah.
But it makes sense what you're saying. They're that long because they're not meant to be journalists, artists. They're just conversation. So actually, there isn't that put it in a box kind of thing. It's actually just say what you want to say kind of thing.
It's a super, it can be very, very random. Like, obviously, he doesn't talk too much about the album itself. Like,
that type of
stuff. So, yeah, man, that was good. I enjoyed the interview. And, yeah, I can't wait to see part two.
Yeah, man, that's going to be interesting. So far, this week for music, let me be honest with you. I have a confession, innit? I have a confession. I'm going to say it's confession because there's a couple people that I had pitchforks for me prior to this particular artist dropping her sophomore album. Now, Summer Walker. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't like Over It.
Oh, I swear.
I didn't like Over It.
Such a man.
Sorry, I didn't like it. No, I love Summer Walker.
I'm joking.
But I'm just saying, I didn't like it. I didn't think it was
you
like
didn't?
It. No, I didn't like it. I liked a few songs.
Oh, but
I
you don't like it. Any of the new R&B chicks, I forgot.
I don't.
Yeah, let me,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
the fuck
yeah,
with them
yeah,
whisper
yeah,
singers.
Yeah.
Even though Summer's not a whisper
Summer's
singer.
Summer's not.
She's
yeah.
a singer, to be fair. But I don't fuck with the R&B. Get my nose. But I didn't really like Over It.
But
right?
You like still Over It.
Now,
basically, is where we're going.
Before we get there, when I heard this X or Reason tune, I said this album is going to suck. And that's my fault.
I was so disappointed
because I was actually looking forward to be proven wrong. Yeah.
Anytime I know that an album for an artist that I like is coming out, I try not to listen to the singles that they drop beforehand.
Low key makes sense.
But I did listen to X for a Reason because I was just like, let me just see where we're at.
It was, honestly.
And then after that, I'm not going to lie, because it put me off completely. So, I didn't even listen to Summer's album straight away when it dropped. I think I waited a few days. I don't want to be disappointed. I like
honestly,
you.
Honestly,
I don't want to be disappointed. That
but
I waited.
I cannot
and,
lie
like,
to you. Still Over It. Miles better than Over It.
You think? Miles. I think I've just lived with Over It for longer and I liked it. So I can't. I'm not
but
really putting
that,
Still
yeah,
Over It better.
The reason why I'm
so
saying
far.
That is yeah. only because the Summer Walker that I liked is the Days of Summer song.
Oh, fine,
Last
fine, fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the Clear EP. That kind of Summer Walker where she's not overdoing it on auto tune.
She's just singing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Like that's for me. That's where I was like, this girl is a special talent. So I feel like Over It was like that way because of London on the Track, personally speaking.
But he's on this too.
However, he had much less impact than because on Over It, he pretty much fully produced the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he did. He did every song.
He did every song, right? Yeah, yeah. And so,
I think he did a lot of songs on this as well.
But on this one, what she's explained is that yes, he was a part of it. It was more of a executive producer kind of thing.
Oh, okay,
as opposed
cool.
to he produced every song.
Okay, fine.
So. And
you
can kind
of
tell.
So you think she got to do some of the vibes that she would have like preferred, maybe 100%. Potentially
100%. Because honestly, have you listened to the album?
Yeah, I have.
Do this album is so different. I do like different. It. I love it.
I don't think it's so different. I do like it though. I think it's a real good sequel, to be honest with
very
you.
Very good sequel.
I think it's a super
that's
sick
how you
sequel.
Do a sophomore album. Yeah, I must admit.
I think that's a very good sequel to Over It.
I think what won me over probably was look. When I heard the preview for Unloyal, and then that's what okay, I'm awake.
Banger.
I am awake. No, that tune's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. So yeah, I must say, I have a confession. I definitely was like, wow, I think I switched off a little bit to Summer Walker after Over It because mm-hmm. of what I felt like I was deceived a little bit because we got the Clear EP. That Clear EP
for me,
4 songs, fucking sick.
Yeah, no,
then when
no,
we got
no.
Over It, I was like, this is nothing.
But Over
I
It was just like, it felt like just old, like the older R&B. It
yeah, really, but with more auto-tune.
Oh, you, man. Just
Whatever.
I know she can sing, but it's just, you know, it's like, well,
nah,
I think you
much,
explained
man.
It one time, it's the technique.
It's the technique,
like
man,
do
it's
whatever.
Too much.
But,
no,
I do get that. I've definitely just, I like it. I don't think it's better than Over It at this particular point in time, but it's literally only been a week. But yeah, about 6 months, we'll circle back. we'll circle back. I'll keep on listening to it, you know. And whatever, but Summer's album, she's doing her thing, and she did crazy numbers, like 200,000 first week or something like that.
Yeah,
like that's biggest sales for R&B artist since like Beyonce. Yeah, it's mad.
Nuts, fully deserved, man.
Why were your gender so upset? And why is Winter Wonderland catching strays?
Alright, so obviously these men in it. Obviously, one man, one guy made a joke.
Why are men?
Hey, wait, it was funny though.
Why are men scared of like
it was
Summer Walker?
Funny, it was definitely a joke. But basically,
nah.
They were shook because Summer Walker was really doing men are trash.
She was slaughtering.
Yeah.
She was in her bag.
It was quality.
Yeah.
Obviously, men are just like, alright, cool. If you move mad, you're not going Winter Wonderland. Like. Bro, come on, man. Come on. It was a joke, man. It was so much joke. I think actually that kind of goes to show her influence because that whole day, obviously.
The conversation was on her.
Was on her. You don't get a lot of artists.
All
like
things
that.
Considered because I think the Kanye interview dropped the same day or the day before,
I think it was
maybe.
The day before.
Yeah, so it was like, but a lot of the social convo I did see was like she did it.
She did really, really well.
She knows her lane, and she's like, yeah. Correct. I liked. I feel like Jasmine Sullivan like influenced a bit of that, like you know Cardi B narration.
Sierra's prayer. I was like, I see Jasmine all in this.
Yep.
I'm so excited for her album next year, man.
But
it's
and I like seeing like Summer, SZA, like Ari Lennox. Like I like seeing all of them kind of just like
and
doing
the,
tunes.
You know what?
Think
the collabs were very good. Sometimes
yeah, no,
these
really
collabs
good.
Can be a bit random. Mm-hmm. Like I get why,
but
they do
especially
it.
Between other like two, like R&B art, like
yes,
two,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like R&B
yeah,
artists, like when they link up, it's not. But to be fair. I feel like the one, like Jasmine Sullivan and her, like all of it, they've actually all slapped.
They've all slapped. They've all slapped. They know what they're doing. Like these, all of these collaborations, were like the collaboration with SZA,
crazy.
I was like, I can't even separate their voices. They're so good together.
Like
it was so, I was just heavily impressed.
We need SZA's album.
Yeah, we do. But you know, it's more pressure now because we've waited so long for it. It's the same thing that they did with Frank Ocean.
Yeah, but to be fair, even before Control dropped, she didn't really have no. She only had them like the SZA. So to be fair, it's like the same sort of thing. I think she just needs to drop.
Yeah, fair.
Because she's been putting out some bits and pieces on SoundCloud, but yeah, she just needs to drop the album.
And the tune that she put out, to be fair, Hit Different and Garden. They were
good,
bangers.
And
actually.
Good Days, right?
Good Days.
Good Days. Yeah.
They were bangers actually.
They were
fucking bangers. Actually, very dope.
However, I don't want to see them on the album.
They're probably going to be on the album.
Because they've been out for so long now.
Yeah,
that
they're
going to
be on the album.
No, I don't want
you know
to see that. I hate it.
You drop singles to build up into
I know, but like, when the single's like a year old, I don't really want to hear it on the album.
They have to, what do you mean? I've worked hard for a single.
You can slap it on a deluxe or something, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
The lead single of your album, you're going to slap on a deluxe.
We didn't know it was the lead single. She just dropped it and it banged. Like, and it went, like, you know, like sometimes artists drop tunes, yeah, and then it goes and they're like, oh shit, like.
Yeah, rally
around them.
But then that
film.
Kind of makes sense because you've made it around the time that you're working on your album.
Yeah.
So even if, obviously it is a risk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like her, them dropping X for a reason, I'm assuming she dropped X for a reason probably from
For example, like when Drake dropped like Laugh Now, Cry Later, I think he thought considering how glossy that video was, I'm pretty sure he thought that was going to be a song that boop. But
maybe he did, but I don't think the rest of us did.
And then obviously it's not on the album because it didn't do it exactly. So I think SZA dropped these tunes and probably didn't even expect them to do too much, but just wanted to feed the fan base, and then they popped. And
they were gonna cling on to it anyway. We all were.
Okay, quick question while we're talking about SZA. Do you think Kendrick is gonna drop before the year's out? Because all of his peers have dropped now. Wale, Big Sean, Drake, J. Cole,
Kanye.
I don't really class Kanye as Drake's peer, but sure. Kanye.
Yeah, fair. Drake I think Ye is a bit above that, but anyway, that's just my.
What?
Well, as in, yeah, I don't. Ye is like an OG. It's like.
Yeah,
it's like
sorry, I thought you said Drake's above. I was like, whoa, that's not what I meant. Kanye's not really his peer, but
yeah,
Kanye's obsessed.
It's like,
whatever.
It's like, there's only really two rappers I'd say that about. That's probably Kanye and Jay.
They're not his peers, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When they drop, compare it in that conversation.
Yeah. So basically, do you think Kendrick's dropping before the year's out? We are in November.
He's going to be
stupid. I want him to, just so that I feel like then we can have a very fair conversation about all of them.
About album of the year. A rap album of the year.
Yeah.
Because actually, you are right. That's
everyone,
gonna be a very good conversation.
Everyone's in. Everyone drops.
I mean, we'll still have
the
conversation next year, even if he doesn't drop.
Yeah, Wale's album is... great.
Do you know what?
I love it.
Let me give a
Wale's
standing...
Wale's my guy, I told
you. Let me give a standing ovation.
I told you.
Following 2 was fantastic. Yo.
What did you call it?
Was it the following?
Falarin. I don't know how to eat. I don't know. It's one of them. I thought you said following. That's like,
no,
like, hold on, what?
Isn't it Falarin?
Falarin. Yeah. I don't know. One of them. Anyway. Well, however it says.
Absolutely 10 out of 10 album. Listen. You had me at the first round, fam. I haven't felt like that since album About Nothing.
Oh, that's
and he's
fair.
Dropped. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
saying
no. I know because I think we've had this conversation before. No, I love that he came through. And
he came through,
yeah,
nah, fam.
Album that, sick.
Dearly Beloved, that's a special song, man. Jamie Foxx vocally is ridiculous, but the way they put that song together. It was just
to even get Jamie Foxx to do that now, because you know you remember when Jamie Foxx was out here, he had his little R&B run.
Yeah.
I think it was dope for him to even go and get him to go
very
do that.
Good.
So
that was, you know what, that is how you make a quality album.
Wale knows how to make good albums. I will say that much. I know not all the albums are for whatever, but I personally
but
do
I think that's
enjoy
the thing. I think
Wale.
That's the thing with Wale. I'll be honest about that. Mm. Even though I might have, like I said, the album About Nothing for me, probably one of my top 20 albums in hip hop.
Okay,
just
cool.
Because every single song and the concept of the album, Seinfeld, the skit, like you have to be a genius to put that whole thing together because that Seinfeld stuff happened at a time completely different to the album, and you still made it work so well.
It stands out because it was actually very
that was ridiculous.
From everything else.
So that's why that album's really special to me. But after that, Wale has always done this thing where he releases great music.
He's a great concept. He's a great artist.
But I guess what I was obviously looking for was that feeling that I had with Album About Nothing. Fair. When I listened to literally from the first song, as soon as the first song came, I said, yeah, he's got it right.
Yeah.
Straight away, I said, he's got it right. Absolutely fantastic album, man. I even forgot, you know what, because so much music has happened in the past couple of weeks, I even forgot about that. That album, definitely one of the best.
Yeah, Wale. So, I just remembered Meek has also dropped.
Yeah,
Meek
dropped.
I liked it, not that much. It was okay, like it kind of gave me more mixtape feel.
Yes, Meek, to be fair. Yeah.
But there are a few select songs it felt a bit like basically Expensive Pain felt like a step backwards.
It did. It felt like Championship was such a...
Yeah.
And
it was kind of like, okay, you... Yeah. It felt like a step backwards. It felt a little bit more like mixtape Meek, like a Dream Chasers,
like a
DC4. And also, his topics, like his content was like regressive. Championships was, of course, like, you know, he was speaking about, you know, his incarceration, like the justice system, all the stuff that he's doing socially, of course, in general, of course, just like being like a man, a person, like living his life, etc., etc. But Expensive Pain was just kind of a lot more just kind of it was a bit more shallow. It was just a lot more shallow than Championships, and I was kind of surprised considering. I thought, okay, cool, like you've really created the springboard of Championships, that's a great body of work, and I would think in like the last 2 or 3 years or whatever, you now have even more to say, but he didn't really have too much to say. So yeah, there's a few songs on there that I like. Like I like the Brent Fires, Halo tune, title track, Expensive Pain. There's a few songs on there that I like, yeah, but overall, yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get that.
Overall, it's not
that.
Really like. But it's then cool. Saying that, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think that's what my point. Because like saying that when Championships came out, because we hadn't got Meek for so long, like we hadn't heard from him for so long, I know there was that anticipation. However, that wasn't just the reason why I like Championships. Championships had a very, very good concept board across it. So obviously, like you said, he was incarcerated and there was other things that was happening in his life, all that kind of stuff, social, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, when you had that, you're able to create a really cohesive album. Expensive Pain, like you said, it just felt like a selection of songs that he's been recording that he's put together.
Yeah.
It just felt to me like it was okay.
It was cool. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't incredible. It was actually what I would call mid.
It was just mid,
and that's cool. Sometimes, you know, that might just happen. You know, whatever. It's been a pandemic. You know, he might have not been as inspired, whatever the case is. But yeah, Expensive Pain was cool, man. It was cool. I don't know. It was just cool.
I wouldn't rank him on top albums this year, not at all.
I revisited Off Season. I've changed my mind. I was on here talking shit. Off Season is definitely a top three album of the year.
Oh, don't say it again!
Unlike you, because you don't come here yet and like hold yourself accountable. Me, I came here, I offered this to you. I offered it. I said, hey, listen, I went back, I revisited
the off-season.
You know when we edit
this, I'm going to play the words that you said in the last episode and I'm going to edit it with this.
But I'm back. I revisited the off-season and yeah, no, it is definitely a top three album of the year.
I would be interested to know why you changed your mind, because I'm actually very intrigued. Because it was a top three album from before. But what made you change your mind? I just want to know. Because that album was absolutely class, by the way. Absolutely class. 500,000.
What changed my mind actually? It's not that I didn't think it was. I think you said it was like top three, and I said nah, like maybe like top five. So I mean, it wasn't way out. We're just talking about like two spots in it. I was like, nah, I think it is a top album. You're talking like I said it was like nowhere in the running, because I think we're talking about Nas and Tyler and somebody else, and I was like, nah, I don't think Cole's in there, to be honest.
I remember,
I was like, I don't think Cole's in there, but I've been re-listening to it, and I'm like, actually, you know what?
That was a very good piece of body of work.
Where does it rank in his discography for you?
So obviously number one is Forest Hill Drives.
Yeah.
Number two is a bit of a toss up between Born Sinner and For Your Eyes Only, because Kelly was all right, but okay. For Your Eyes Only, for me personally, again, it's more concept, it meant, that kind of thing. Even though maybe there was less songs on there than his mixtapes or whatever.
Okay.
But then number three has to be the off-season. Because the off-season felt like an album and a mixtape, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It felt like, yes, this is loads of different songs, but actually they all go together. There's an idea behind it. And it had a different style. So I put it over the mixtape.
So you put it in, top three, yeah. Okay, cool, top three. So yeah, I mean, that's cool.
I just thought,
you know, like I hold myself accountable.
I love that for you. We're trying, it's growth.
Sometimes you just say things, we're just caught up in the moment, it happens. So yeah, anyway. What else? Did you listen to Ed Sheeran's album?
Right, so that's actually very funny you said that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he dropped the album.
Oh, shit.
Until about 3-4 days ago, yeah? And did
you listen to, like, his single that he dropped?
So I heard that, but I just heard it on social media.
Okay, fine.
After that mixtape that he did, the London one, I switched off from Ed Sheeran.
Wait, was that a mixtape?
I don't know what it was. It was a project. You know that collaboration project?
Oh,
I switched off after that.
I was so annoyed about the whole thing
because I was like, how can you go from singing Lego House and all that to this?
Wait, wait, wait. Oh yeah, shit. The collaborations album's the one with like
every, all these rappers.
Meek, he's got a tune with Meek Mill on there, right? Yeah, yeah, no, I remember. Like,
I said this is switched off. Actually,
yeah, I remember listening to that.
Yeah,
that
no, I switched off, man. I just said I remember listening to this, man.
That was actually dead. Yeah,
I was so annoyed. There's no way you can go from albums like X and Plus and then do that. I was like, no, man. I was so irritated.
Yeah,
I was just annoyed because obviously of what he was.
Take me back to London.
Rubbish. Saying that though. For the first, this album was a lot better. For the first four songs, I was like, actually, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, I just don't think I was in the mood to listen to it yet.
Oh, you wasn't in the mood.
So I just heard, I heard four songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no, this is really good. This is definitely a quality album. I just don't think I was in the mood. So I will go back to it.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Did you hear what he was, he went on Half Cast Podcast and spoke about, like, the Wiley allegations, or not allegations, accusations of being a culture vulture and stuff. And he just kind of said, you know, obviously, I guess the issue between him and Wiley stemmed from the fact that they did a tune and Wiley wanted to drop it on, let's say, on the same week that Ed was also dropping his album. Mm. And Ed just asked him, could you just drop it like afterwards or before? And Wiley, obviously, I guess being Wiley, was just like, bah!
And that's now why, at least
from his perspective, that's what he said, that he feels that's where the issue stems from. Yeah. And then obviously it snowballed into the culture vulture and whatever cultural appropriation, all the rest of it, etc. Things that we've spoken about on here before.
Ironically,
anyway.
You know what I'll definitely say about Ed Sheeran, which I must admit that I haven't, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm.
Of all the people that are not a part of the culture, as in they're not black, but has a stem in black music, he's probably the one of a very few artists who I'd say I don't think he's ever done anything offensive or hasn't given back to the culture. Especially being so, for example, his come up was on SBTV, right? That's the first thing. Obviously, it was through Jamie Foxx.
I mean,
his come up was through SBTV.
In the interview, he talks about that. He talks about how, you know, the black music scene has embraced him more than the indie acoustic scene ever has. And like, really and truly, he came up on this music. When he was wherever he's from, outside of London or wherever, I can't remember where he lived. But before that, he was like, this was the music that he was listening to and stuff like that.
And obviously,
when he was talking, you can tell this is he's a knowledgeable guy. Like, this is not a guy that's like just researched it on a Reddit sub or something like that.
But my point is that when you look at the stuff that's happened with SBTV, when you look at the music that he's done, the collaborations that he's done as well, he's always, I think personally, he's done it the right way in championing the fact that this culture you're not necessarily part of, however you are a talented
but he
skilled
is
artist,
part of it though. But that's what he was saying,
you know what I mean, like in essence you're in a way, like, obviously you are part of it because you're an artist, yes, I get your point, but obviously this the culture itself, everything, you've not grown
black
up
culture.
And you don't know it, that kind of thing, black culture in that sense.
He's not from Warsaw, but from now on, yeah, anyone who's just not from London, they're from Warsaw. You're just from Warsaw, because that's the only place that I don't know why. Where the anyways? Because it's Georgia Smith, but I don't know why.
I even say
up north, or you're just from Warsaw, innit? Like, so whatever.
When I'm putting it in that perspective, that's what I'm just like. Of all the years I've seen it on the come up, he's always been respectful, always giving back. So while I get Wiley might be frustrated, and sometimes Wiley's rants are justified. Sometimes.
He's like Dame.
Sometimes.
He has Dame Dash sentiments.
Sometimes.
There are valid points in what he's saying. However, who the people that they may apply them to, it might not be the right person to apply it to.
There we go.
But it doesn't mean that the argument itself is not valid. Like, there are points there and
exactly.
The rest of it.
Facts.
As, you know.
So it's just interesting to see how people kind of react to him.
The Ed interview with on Half Cast with Chucky is really dope. It's really good.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
and
really
that's
good talk.
You know what I'm seeing as well, this is really great. Like, actually, this is a side thing.
Mm.
A lot of our British kind of influencers, presenters, stuff like that, have really been killing
it.
ZZ Mills, Chucky, like all of the podcast guys, the Free Receipts,
flourishing. They've just thriving. Been flourishing, man.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's
really, really good. I'm actually really, really loving it. And
it's kind of like what we were saying, like, you know, like last time we were here, we were talking about like just the black entertainment part.
Yeah, the scene.
Really just being. It's kind of new to have so many different. Yeah. Like before, it's just music, of course, and maybe one or two. But now there's like you said, presenters, personalities. Yeah. There's
and actually not even just
there's
even
all sorts of like
even creatives. Like, like the photographers, videographers.
Oh, look at the way he did that! Oh shit! Look at the way he slid that in. Okay, yes, go on, Shame. Nah, okay, come on. Tell us what you've been doing, Mr. TikTok. Let's go.
It wasn't even meant to be a segue, though. Wow.
No, I love
that. I was just celebrating. I'm not gonna lie, it was low-key slick, though. Let me know.
I got a clap for you on that one. That was very well done.
It wasn't
that
even meant to be a segue. I was probably
not. Yeah. Tell us about your
we've been killing it, fam.
Rockstar lifestyle.
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's been a great, fantastic week.
Yeah, he's been doing amazing things. Tell me about the TikTok Black event.
So TikTok This Is Black, one of our really, really great friends, Janae, is a big part of This Is Black. So TikTok is like, it's basically a community particularly to celebrate Black creators, okay, and give them the opportunities and the support.
Was it like a ceremony or was it just like a?
It was almost like
a party, just a party.
It was basically it involved like workshops and stuff the day.
Okay, cool.
Just kind of helping you about like just loads of different things about TikTok, about influencing, about things you need to do, all that kind of stuff. Really, really great. That was all day, and then the evening was like the celebratory part. Yeah. That was the whatever it was. So they had to be like Jules, Country Radical was there. Rachel, she I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name, but she's a singer, great singer.
Okay.
Really, really good. And then so obviously I was hired to take photos. Absolutely fantastic.
To take flicks to document history. Let's frame it correctly.
Let me write. That's why we're documenting history.
Please, yeah, let's frame it correctly.
You're right. That was one of the first kind of big major events for particularly for Black creators, especially in the TikTok scene, because the TikTok Black creators are fucking killing it.
The UK in the UK and London.
It was great. No, it was a beautiful celebration. Like just people were just happy, and even the workshops that were there were just kind of to give people the help.
That's super informative and stuff like that.
Super informative, and I just think like it was just great to see that. Like I was looking out, and there must have been at least like maybe 400 or 500 people here, and
nice.
They were just happy.
Yeah,
they were just happy. They were just celebrating. They were just doing their thing, and I was just like, look, big up to. That's why I was like, the scene is killing. Like obviously, like I said, you know, one of my good friends. What she's doing for the Black community in TikTok is fucking amazing, and it's not just her and her team. Like just fucking amazing. And again, that's the kind of thing that we've needed, that we almost don't even know that we needed, because that support and just that arm is kind of helping us to like, what? There's opportunities for us that we didn't even know about.
Yeah.
And so now we're taking that with both hands, and so obviously, like, it was just been a blessing. But yeah, literally, I've been.
Killing it.
Killing it.
He's been killing it. Every time I go on Instagram, it's another shoot. I'm like, this guy, like, he's just all over the place. Everybody. Nah, but it's proper dope.
Happy.
And I love that for you,
I'm
honestly.
Happy, like, literally, like, it's been a great 2 months. Like,
you know, like I was telling you earlier, I was just like, I just see it and I'm just like, oh, look at him go.
That's my dog.
Look at him go.
That's my dog.
Look at him.
I'll put stuff on Instagram, and I'll be like, how the hell is this happening? And everybody will be like, well, why are you surprised?
No, but honestly, like, why are you surprised? I just think, yeah, it's all deserved. And every single time, like, yeah, it's just deserved.
That's my
it's
dog.
It's just deserved. But I like the way you did that. So. I was like, oh, you know, yes. The popularity and the should we talk about me?
I wasn't even trying to do a segue. What happened, didn't it? it's been great, man.
Adele. Album is dropping soon. I think we'll have an episode just after it drops.
I must say.
Oh, by the way, I love the way Adele and Ed Sheeran have been out here like working their releases. Honestly, all the Vogue content that Adele did, Ed's been everywhere, like obviously doing interviews, etc.
You know,
I saw some people saying that, you know, artists that are not as successful as them, you can't even get them to utter two words to anybody. Very
one,
too
let me.
Cool.
I said this. I tweeted this the other day. I said the one thing I love about Adele is her release or her rollout is no nonsense. And actually, I get that you can do that when you're Adele. So fair enough. Adele doesn't have to. You don't have to garner.
Adele could roll her album out and
she
not
could release
do
album tomorrow
and not do anything.
And not do anything. It doesn't
and
matter.
Not do anything.
But in that, she still does it properly. Yeah, just the whole rollout, the Vogue shoots, the dropping the single, dropping the tour dates, dropping the and then doing all these.
Wait, hold on. Adele's doing a one man festival, Hyde Park, just her.
How many people was it again?
Just her. I don't even know, but it's too many. It's not even too many. It's
she's a whole
one
park.
Man festival.
A whole park.
Absolutely crazy. Okay.
The sound
she's no one. She's no one's friend. No one's friend in this thing. Honestly,
Adele's on. She's on a different ball game. We don't like. She's. You know. So there was a. Bit of controversy.
Oh shit.
During the time when the single dropped, where someone. This is a side note. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's so funny sometimes when you deep it. These apps like social, like Twitter and Instagram, they're such echo chambers because one person will tweet an opinion. And obviously, it's that everyone has an opinion. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Mm. And that creates this ripple dynamo effect whole day we're talking about. So someone had said, the industry basically I'm paraphrasing, not word for word, but basically the industry are celebrating her now, or she's being celebrated now
more
because she's lost weight. I was like, you guys do a massive disservice to Adele, you know. A massive disservice to her as an artist. It's unbelievable.
I don't even know how many Grammys Adele has, but she's got them all.
She's got literally all of them.
You mean like 9, 10 time Grammy, 12 time Grammy winning Adele? You mean that's the Adele? Is that the same one? She hasn't got an Academy. Wait, did she get an Academy Award for her James Bond?
I think she did. Track? You know, I think she did. That was one of the best James Bond theme songs in of all time. Are you stupid? That's just dumb.
Oscar,
it's just dumb.
Adele.
It's dumb.
Let's see if Adele has an Oscar.
It's dumb.
Adele has got. You mean Oscar winning? Okay. Oscar winning Adele. This is the Adele that this person is talking about that the industry hasn't celebrated. Big Adele.
I can't believe it.
Chatting shit, man.
Honestly, couldn't believe
people
it.
Who don't know about music just talk stuff like that.
I do agree with that. Like, and also because they weren't on it. So listen, I've been listening to Adele since fucking 19, fam. So and we knew then, this girl's bigger than anything we've ever seen.
She's,
are you mad? Chasing Pavements.
Come on.
But obviously what people then do is you fast forward to 10, 15 years because they didn't listen to her. Everybody else must think the same. So you guys are only celebrating her now.
Or because you're paying more attention to her now because she's lost weight, you believe everybody else is
doing you know
same.
What I mean?
But no way is no flipping way.
You're
she's literally one of the best selling musicians of like
in the world
of all time. She's up there. She's up.
You know when you're, like there's Adele is probably the only as in that's still going. I'm not talking about the OG legends. But in terms of recent, you know, everyone's talking about who would you compare to who would you put in the you know that the whole conversation about bracket with MJ and stuff like that.
Oh right, okay.
And obviously I'm not comparing because it's like even like Beyonce, I don't put Beyonce in the levels of MJ because MJ.
That's fair.
But when you're having that conversation, that's where you'll put Adele. That's how big she is. And that was way before the weight loss. We're talking about Grammy, like multiple
Adele's
diamond, platinum, everything.
Adele's always been celebrated. So always. That person was just talking air, like completely. That's wild.
Oh my god!
It does make you think. It's like, but I'm sure. I almost want to just say that just for like. That I'm sure they probably argued that Drake was bigger than Michael Jackson though.
Oh, they didn't. Oh no! Did I tell you what happened to me?
No,
I didn't tell you, did I?
No.
I so you know when the Drake this album? Sorry, this was a while back. When the Drake album dropped, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh yeah, this was literally probably the same day that it dropped or the day after. I said, yeah, it's a good album, but anyway, you can't really compare Drake and Kanye. That's what I said.
Okay, fine.
Ball game. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, someone found my email and sent me a documented thesis of why Drake is bigger than Kanye.
That's a sickness.
I literally messaged the guy. I said, go and get help.
Yeah, that's a sickness.
That is ridiculous. This wasn't a couple bullet points.
Okay,
there was pictures,
you know,
graphs, and everything.
And you know what? Yeah, that's a very good way to now speak about Travis Scott and Astroworld and how Let's talk about first off, of course, rest in peace to the eight people who lost. Yeah, to the people that lost their lives. But I guess what I would probably want to maybe talk about more so is artists' social conditioning their fans in a particular way. Playboi Carti is on tour at the moment. Rico Nasty is opening up for her. Videos keep popping up online of Playboi Carti's fans just booing, constantly booing Rico Nasty as she's performing on stage. Yeah. And it's weird because I don't know if you know much about Playboi Carti's like fan base, but they're very much like kind of like a, I just watched The Eternal, so I'm going to use this word, like a uni mind. So like they're basically like a hive mind. They're like a hive mind. So
stan anyone culture,
who, so stan culture. So anyone who's not Carti, boo, get off the stage. But wow. Carti has also like throughout, like I guess from the way he's kind of done his career and the way he like socializes with his fans, that's the behavior he encourages. And so when they come to the show, they are just like, Carti or die. Like, that's it. So to talk about Travis Scott, and just I've been to Travis Scott shows before. I didn't go to Astroworld, but I've been to Travis shows previously. I've even seen them. I saw him in Switzerland at an open air festival or whatever. But Travis has a particular type of behavior that happens every single time since the start of his career and his festivals. His fans are kind of conditioned in a particular way. That when you go into that environment, for example, getting punched in the face is not a norm. Yeah, but it's a norm, but it's also not a thing where you should be mad. You're even excited if someone punches you in the face in the mosh pit. Yeah. You're even more excited,
call it the rager.
Right.
That's what they're
raging and stuff like that. Cool. Obviously, you've been to a Beyonce concert, right?
Mm.
It's not the same. And obviously, it's a completely different thing. But I've been to a Jay-Z concert. I've been to Kanye concerts. I've been to like loads of different rap acts. Tyler the Creator hasn't got exactly the same sort of crowd as Travis, but that type of craziness does happen at Tyler's.
I guess he shut down the whole of Peckham.
I know, but like people way before that, like they used to do pop-ups in Brixton. There'd be queues round the block, and people, when they go to the shows, they're just going crazy. They just want to like lose control, so to speak, and stuff like that. And it's just very like kind of like, I guess in a sense it could be classed as aggressive, like in that, but only at those like
particular shows.
Vince Staples show is calm. I have to worry. You don't have to really like. It's not. It's hype, of course, but it's not like. I don't feel like anyone's gonna like drag me by the back of my hair or anything like that. I've been to Pusha T shows. I don't feel like that's not gonna happen. I've been to a YG show and there was a crazy mosh pit. I even lost the earring, But even so, it's not a scary necessarily like thing. So I guess I guess what I'm saying is that artists.
I think they do, to
an extent, condition their fans through the way they like whether they interact or the things they encourage at their shows. Like obviously, previously Travis did have a guy who jumped off one of the levels. Imagine jumping off level one in the O2 Arena. Obviously, now he's paralyzed.
Who sent you to come do that?
Travis. Well, not Travis, but the environment that you went into. You're raging, you're going mad, you're so excited. See, 19 years old, and I think Travis said something like, yo, don't worry, bro, they're going to catch you. Who caught him? No one caught him. And he's paralyzed now for the rest of his life.
So what I'm saying is that
happened, and you know, there was a lawsuit and all the rest of it, and it kind of just went away. But that's the type of conditioning that takes place of his fan base and behavior. And then, of course, like I guess on a wider thing would be that, you know, artists, they do contribute to those types of things. And
see, my problem to you, and so
does it, that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. I guess my opinion, or even like how I've seen things from what's happened, is exactly like you said. The before I saw all of the rest of the videos,
I saw a hoax. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah. So literally, but even the first video I saw when they rushed the gate, that was the first one I saw. That at this point, I'd only heard about 8 people dying. But I didn't see those videos. I saw
that. I just thought it was like a wireless thing, you know? Like
I just thought it was just like, oh, they just stole the gates. What the comments, literally, as you were starting to read them, some of the fans were saying, this is what happens. This is part of it.
This is part of the experience.
Don't come to the shows if you don't want to come to the show. And so obviously that's got
me
thinking
that's
now.
That's because of how Travis has always promoted and how he's always...
So holding that thought, yeah? So then it goes down to this. When I was discussing it on social media, the question I kept saying, like, he is partly responsible for this.
Oh, no, 100%.
And so people were responding back. Their rebuttal was, well, he's not in control. I said, actually, he is. He's the only person who's pretty much in control to pretty much say, this has gone far beyond just someone fainting or someone's got punched in the face. There's an ambulance in the middle of your fucking concert.
Similar thing with fans, right? Tyler, the Creator Festival, the carnival that he did, Drake got booed. His fans, because of the way they feel about Tyler and the type of music or the kind of alternative vibe, so to speak, or whatever, that I don't know how to explain it. They booed Drake because Drake is the most popular artist in the world. And how dare he come to our carnival and perform all his pop tunes and whatever else. And they were booing him. And they were booing him kind of based on the fact that for Tyler's career, he's been all. He's been other.
And this idea that if you're other, we look down on mainstream, we look down on popular
because Tyler's kind of in the past anyway. Oh, that's like, that's whack. That's the shit that people like. That's whack over there. So your fans adopted that mindset, which means even though you do actually personally like Drake, Tyler personally like Drake, he invited them to come and do the thing. You thought it was going to be sick. The fans were like, are you crazy? No way. There's no way he's... And then they booed him. That's a part of social conditioning.
And that's part of social conditioning and obviously impacting the behaviour. And when that happens, then that means you have to put some of the onus on the artist itself.
Exactly. So
they don't create that by themselves.
So then Tyler, I remember afterwards, he tweeted, he was like, oh, that was super lame of you guys, blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, I invited him. I wanted him to come. And his fans are... You know, like, when you're... Like, fans are telling the artist, No, you're wrong about your thing because... And that's based on how, like, you know... that artist has been or talked and been in interviews and how they've spoken about past things. And there's loads of different instances. Obviously, nothing as tragic as what's happened with Travis, but there's definitely blame on Travis.
Yeah, 100%.
There's not blame 100%. On Travis. Like,
and also, when you see the videos...
There's loads of artists that have festivals. But aside from that,
when you look at the videos,
yeah.
you can see with your own two eyes, he can see what's going on. Because that was a big part of his before.
Yeah, I get that. But yeah, for me, more so, like, the main thing for me, like, or one of the things was just really, I was like, well, let's just look at the behaviour that's kind of accepted within this particular...
Even before that day,
within this relationship or whatever between, like, the artist and the fan.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, there's other instances where you've seen fans, like, you know, Tyler's fans are reacting like that based on how Tyler's,
and
how they think, you know, Tyler, I think when push comes to shove,
I think it's people have to realise that when we're saying that the artist is responsible, no, he didn't physically kill them, no, but it's like you said.
I just thought about Drake. Remember when Drake's fans went to Joe Budden's house? And like they tagged his house, or they were like harassing him at his house.
Is it?
Yeah, because Joe Budden dropped a whole bunch of diss tracks, basically, and Drake fans
went. I remember Joe Budden dropping the tracks.
Yeah, he dropped a bunch of diss tracks, and then Drake's fans like found where he lived and went to harass him, and then he chased them down the road or whatever, or, like in the car. And then Drake was on Instagram like liking the videos of what. the harassment.
That's encouraging, right? Of course you are.
So for me, it's just kind of like I'm not saying all the blame is on Travis, but there's blame on Travis.
Because even in the video,
there's blame on Travis. The whole thing was riddled with issues from the start. Because from when people are busting down the wall and getting into the festival,
you already got problems.
That's early in the day.
There's 50,000 people.
Yeah, no,
already. That's bought a ticket.
100,000 actually.
It was 100,000.
Yeah, I saw 100,000. And maybe it was over the 2 days.
No, it was over the 2 days. Yeah, yeah. It was so, but the first day was sold out, was 50,000 people. Okay. What they said was, 100. They sold 100,000 tickets. Okay. I think it was
because
of 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So the but there was 50,000 people for the first day.
But what I'm saying,
people broke through the gate.
Yeah, no. Of course, and people, you know, you don't know what people have on them, etc. But exactly. That's an issue from the start of the day.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
or early in the day, correct, before you even get to like the headline act, because headline act is like in the evening. It's like 9-10 o'clock. So,
and on top of that, when you look at some of the I was watching all of the little videos that came up. There was one point where the people were kind of passing out and stuff like that. Mm. And Travis says, you know what it is. You know what you came here for. So it's exactly what you said. There's always been this conditioning from the top that they've all kind of been laid on.
Like anything, right? Like Kanye fans, you know, or like ASAP Rocky fans, right? We like fashion. There's certain things you might be into. Well, not like, I'm just saying, like as an example.
And they all do.
It happens regardless. Like if you're a big fan of somebody, like it kind of like, and you go to shows at least anyway, there is a way that, of course, I know that a Beyonce show, if you're standing, yeah, be prepared. Them lot are going mad.
Yeah.
Then, but you're not going to, obviously, nothing crazy is going to happen to you in that way. But I remember even being at Kendrick shows. But again, artists, you know, you can stop the show. You can be like, yeah, just chill out. Otherwise, we're going to have to stop.
There's so many things,
yeah. And you know what? It's just super sad to see that happen. And for it to just...
But
yeah,
also, what I've hated even more so than what's happened, I hate the response.
Oh yeah, no.
I kind of
hate that his apology video, like obviously has become kind of like a meme, like.
I know
that, you know, we're here, we like to joke. I think that's kind of all.
No,
we
but I think there's.
I think that's
though.
All we ever do. We just like.
We just laugh about everything.
We just laugh about everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there is like something to the fact that. And that's probably a different conversation for another day, but there is something to the fact that even though that's become a meme now, basically.
And it's just, it takes away from the tragedy of the situation, because lives were lost, and not just the lives lost, we're talking hundreds of people were injured.
What do you think about his partnership with a mental health app?
Dodgy. I did read some things about it. It looks like the company itself are dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
They sell.
But what do you think about just in the face of a tragedy signing another contract?
No, to me, it just feels very disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because you could have literally, if you really wanted to, you could have just literally just said, "Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? Those who the people who were injured and for those who died, I'm going to
cover the funeral, and stuff
them,
like that.
Whatever." And you don't need the company to
but
do
you
that.
Signed a but
you signed but, a but whole but, ass deal. That's just
what is that? Some is that? I don't know where that falls. I mean, I know it's capitalism, but I think that is something that I just think it's wild.
I just think it's
wild that you can still sign a deal. You can still kind of basically profit.
Oh, off death. Yes, of course you can.
I mean, I know that, but like in the considering all things considered, I think 4 days post, you've already got a deal on the table that you've signed and you've announced. I think that's mad.
I also think the company that have even instigated that, they're just...
Yeah, I'm sure loads of companies and people are reaching out saying, oh, Calm, like the Calm app or whoever. Like, I'm sure bare people are reaching out, but that doesn't mean that you need to...
To sign it.
Yeah, you don't need to actually do that and make and turn it into basically a commodity, like turn the whole thing into like, I don't know. Just
and there's
just
also
bit,
because
it's just weird.
Because the other thing as well is because there's an ongoing issue around the fact that you're probably going to get some people that are going to sue the shit out of you.
Oh no, Live Nation and whoever the sue. There's going to be lawsuits. If I was a lawyer like right now, I would be reaching out to whoever was at that festival because I know that's a guaranteed payday.
100%.
That's a guaranteed
payday.
And so
because you know that, there's obviously loopholes around that. The fact that if you accept this help...
Oh, is it?
Then,
okay.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, no,
that
makes then sense.
Then you don't
obviously
have to... Then you
sense.
Can't make a claim in terms of being sued. And so that's already going to dispel that because literally in your... obviously, like I said, most people are going to be in their head. If my son, 10-year-old son, died, I'm telling you now...
No, there's no amount... At the end of the
there's
day...
No there's no amount...
There's
obviously
no amount of money.
Want,
but yeah, no, I hear you. Like, you
I'm
want justice.
I'm going to
yeah,
want
yeah.
to hurt you
yeah,
because
yeah.
of what
yeah,
you've
yeah,
done.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So, like I said to you, it does seem like a lot of what he's doing post this situation does seem a little bit kind of out of touch. Not kind of, it is out of touch.
It's damage control, isn't it?
It's damage control
because there wasn't really like an apology and there was,
I don't
get me wrong. I did quote tweet him on Twitter or whatever when he did post this thing. Because to be fair, you are damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Absolutely.
It is a very tough spot to be in. Absolutely. There's kind of no right way to do it simply because you're never going to appease everybody. And considering the gravity of the situation, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, there's just really like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I mean, at the end of the day, this whole thing, if you put it into context, from now on, for the rest of your career, this is what people are going to remember, regardless of how many tracks.
Well, remember Woodstock. Woodstock was the worst festival, right?
And three people died. Three people
exactly.
died. This is crazy. You had eight people pass away. There was probably more,
and so many casualties. So many casualties.
This is a tragedy. And on top of that, but then even more so to that point,
even if it was one person, it's a tragedy, you know.
But even more so to that point, it's the fact that it went on for so long and you did not stop it.
I think that's where
the nail hits the head kind of thing. Because again, even if you wanted to be so fair and say at the very start of everything that was happening, you didn't want to say anything, at some point there must have been, yo, we've got to stop this, you know, because this is the concert didn't stop, you know.
But you know what, yeah, like, you know how I mentioned, of course, there was a guy who ended up paralyzed from one of his shows a few years back. And do you think there's something to the fact that when you're like, let's say your shows get crazy and people get hurt and you pull up fans on stage and they got blood leaking from their mouths and blah, 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 but no one says anything. So you kind of think it's okay, like, not comparing it to like an R. Kelly thing or whatever, but just when you're allowed to do what you want, and every other time it was fine, but obviously now this has happened.
So now
everything is being pulled back up, and it's like, right. And you know what? I always used to say this. So I remember I was having a conversation once, and someone was like, "Oh, Travis doesn't do a lot of interviews." I was like, "Yeah, because all his early interviews are a bit mad." Like, there's certain artists that the reason they can't do interviews, like, you're. Even, to be honest, Drake, to an extent, doesn't do many interviews. And I know why. I'm just not really going to go back. I'm just not going to go all... I have a theory as to why, but I'm not... It's whatever for whatever. But Travis is, like, one of those. Like, just...
No, actually, no. Because when they thought about it, the last someone brought up an
interview... They're bringing up all his older interviews when Travis is looking in the camera and his plaits are, like, short and stuff. I think that's even... Because I met him when he came to London and stuff time ago. And those are interviews from then. This is, like, really, like, a white, like, early, like, I don't know, 2014, 2015. Yeah. It's a while ago, basically. So...
I actually would agree with you. I've learned one of the things I think 2020 and 2021 has honestly taught me is that I completely understand now why when we were younger we didn't hear celebrities talk, because now that they've opened their mouth, they're full of shit.
Well, they had just tighter, like, you know, like, they had more media training and stuff like that.
But also because a lot of these artists, obviously, we only know them for their talents, abilities and their achievements. And so I think over the past, not even just past 2 years, this has been happening for definitely over the last decade, but particularly in the past 2 years because of COVID and everyone's been talking more. We've just realised, wow, these celebrities, while they're great and talented, they're full of shit as the rest of us.
Yeah, but everyone should have known that anyway.
They're people, though, isn't it? Eb, think about it. When we were growing up, we put all of these eyes on a pedestal, even if we didn't do it purposely. We did.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
You're just like growing up, though, innit? So, and the things were different then anyway. Social media changed the relationship between artists and fans.
That's a whole different thing,
and there's a reason for that. Of course. I mean, I was just talking more so just saying that Travis is someone who, for as popular and as like his like high visibility that he's got, etc., and all of those types of things, there's a reason for it. And if he did more if his team or whoever allowed him to do more interviews and stuff, yeah, it'd probably be a bit different. Of course, there was some, he just said some mad stuff.
Very sad, man. It was such a tragic situation.
Yeah, and it's insane.
And I don't know, it just felt like, you know, like it's literally like you said, now because of everything that's happening, I'm still in the mode where I'm like, this is very this is very dark what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
it. People are now joking about
that, that's exactly how I explained it to somebody the other day. I was like, it's very, very dark.
It's very dark. I'm very much at a loss to this because, like I said,
but I guess it points to a wider point of where we're at in terms of like a lack
society.
Of just being desensitized to pretty much everything.
Pretty much
everything. Like,
I mean, we saw a lot of that. I definitely say we saw a lot of that in social media last year, and I think it's just continued on now. It's
think about the fact that obviously we've been going through a pandemic. I don't know if it's officially over or whatever the case is, but just think about all the mass death. Like, you know, the BBC or whatever reporting that there's 150,000 people have died, and we're just like, oh, okay, like that is surreal. We're just like, oh, okay, cool, like, and you're just kind of without actually thinking that's mass death, that, you know.
But this is what I was saying to someone the other day, like literally just a conversation saying the other day. We become so desensitized to death. It's almost as if we've separated ourselves from the reality of what it is. Yeah. To the point where that's where people get to the point where they can make jokes and laugh about death, because they almost don't want to experience that the sadness that comes with it, so they have to find a coping mechanism, and they found laughter, which is the last thing you want to do during death. And then on top of that, it's not even just like laughter, because, you know, some people can say, you know, you look at the good times when someone dies and you laugh and try, and I get all of that. But that's not what this is. I can't even say
it's like a sadness that people are necessarily like avoiding or whatever the case is, because I guess as we're speaking, right, we're just speaking about things that we read about, not personal, like close to you. So if you read that, I don't know, Kobe Bryant dies, unless you were connected to basketball and his profile in that way, then.
But
don't get me wrong, I'm saying like what you're saying about people making jokes and stuff like that.
I would agree with you, but I think it's the point that even still in that case, when you, like, even when you were growing up, you would hear that someone had died or passed away. Well, of course, you're not necessarily quote unquote going to be sad. There was always this air of, wow. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't, like, think about it this way. You wouldn't even though you're not close to that person, you wouldn't even think for a moment, whether you know them or not, oh, this is a great time to make a joke, or this is a great time to use this as meme content, or this is a great...
Everything is content, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean.
That's why I saw a picture of, was it influencer that was taking a picture in front of, like, was it her grandfather's casket or something like that? Or did you see that?
I
just thought, whoa, like...
This is crazy.
A funeral... I mean,
this is great, and that's what I mean. That's literally what you said. That's the nail on the head. Everything has become content, and so people have stepped away from almost the reality of feeling again. When it comes to, like, you know, just death and just even life, for example. Even if we just put aside the fact that death is just harrowing as it is, that's earth missing. So, like I said, people will almost switch off and automatically think, no, this is not that moment. This is a moment for content. This is a moment for laughter. This is a moment for a meme. This is a moment for, you know, engagement. This is a moment for this. And it's like, yo.
Yeah, like, what can I squeeze this moment for?
Do you see what I'm saying?
How do I capitalize? What can this do for me in this moment? This is sad, but boy, what can I do for me
in terms of gain? And I'm just like, you don't even realize how... You know how much, how the kind of person you've become when
actually,
that's the thoughts that come
it's
out of
actually
your mind.
Imagine, though, like, it's actually very, very crazy.
It is crazy.
Mad.
I mean, rest in peace to all those that lost their life, man. It was
just seriously, man. Horrible, man. Crazy, crazy. Wheel crazy. Up. Yeah, let's do the wheel up. So your wheel up this week is.
So hold on, let me get a nigga die his trainers.
Jack James.
This song dropped the same day as Summer Walker, right?
Yeah.
Jack James, fucking amazing. Absolutely incredible. His Joyride EP, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen. The album is amazing. So obviously, British guy, he is definitely leading a conversation around some of the best R&B to come out of this country. And just facts. This song dropped last week, and I was like...
You've been spinning it.
Yo! This is fucking unreal! I said, excuse me? What kind of music quality is this? Listen, song's too good.
He's been around for a while.
Long time.
When did the Joyride EP drop? Earlier this year. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Woo! And then bass.
And he produced it as well. Ooh. And he engineered it.
He's so fucking talented, man.
That's so dope.
Big up Jack James, man. The guy is amazing.
Hey, I like it. This is good.
Nah, listen.
Oh yeah, I want to have a conversation about artwork at some point, because I'm looking at his artwork. I'm like, I like this. Artwork
ain't been the same, man.
Like, what's artwork going? What is happening?
We need to have a conversation about that.
Yeah, no. What
top
is happening?
Top 10 artwork of all time, fam.
Yeah, no. Let's do it. Like, let's do it.
It ain't been the same, man. It ain't been the same in the past. Like 5, 10 years. It actually gets my last.
I saw
man.
Someone tweet something like, no one cared about artwork before like Kanye or something like that. I was just like, man, you lot don't know nothing about music.
Up.
I swear to God, stop talking.
Hey, shut the fuck up,
stop
bro.
Talking.
Shut the fuck
up. I saw that and I was thinking, it's too much. But
the majority of the time, I wouldn't even really care about a project until I've seen the artwork.
I collect vinyls, yeah. So artwork is super like, sometimes you might just pick up a vinyl because the artwork looks sick. You don't even know nothing about, like, wow, what's this? This looks dope. Like, because essentially they're pieces of art, like, to me anyway,
fact,
as well.
No, they are.
Anyway, my wheel up this week. So we will do that. Maybe one of our end of year conversations, we can kind of like, yeah, we'll do some bits and pieces. But my wheel up is a name you probably haven't heard in a while, KEB. KEB drops an EP last week, yeah.
Why didn't I know
fucking
about this?
Vibe.
Really?
Oh my God. KEB, yeah. Goated. I don't. Goated.
Actually, been goated, fam.
Drops an EP called Peace and Offering. And basically, yeah, my wheel up this week is Under My Skin. It's the first track off of there. She's got Jazz Karis on there, which is a great tune. But it's just a nice 8 songs. Just a nice, just great. Great vibes, great vibes, just great vibes. Look, just happiness, just happiness. Yeah, KEB though. I was so happy to see this. I was like, amazing. Wait for it! Oh my God! She was killing it, man, honestly. So.
Yo, I'm awake. I'm awake.
You should go listen to it.
I'm listening to it tonight, man.
Oh my God. So yes, for our British talent, you know.
Woo.
Yeah, so KEB, boy. Peace and Offerings. So EP. And yeah.
Yeah, that's a banger. That's a banger and a half. What are you mad?
I was proper happy to see that. I was like, KEB. I was like, that is a name that I haven't seen in a minute, but I've always liked KEB. And anytime she drops something, I'll listen to it. So yeah, man, the EP's been sick.
She's
goated, man.
Yeah, buddy. That's us.
Yeah, I think that's it. We don't really have to. That was a lot.
That was a lot. that was fun and packed, man.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yo. Anyway, we will see y'all.
Yeah, make sure that you rate, follow, subscribe, and also if you've been enjoying the show and stuff, drop us a review on Apple Podcasts because
it helps. It helps.
Yes,
share
it does.
With your friends and family.
You know.
We'll see you on another one. TBH out. Peace.